darf es etwas mehr Blick sein. Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
Darf es etwas mehr Blick sein? Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
For as long as I can remember, I have lived above a clockmaker's workshop. It was an art workshop. Although my dad did sometimes do deliveries for them as a side job of sorts. But we've rented the space upstairs for almost at least a decade now. Although my parents can't tell me exactly when they moved in. Every day when I came home from school, the owner of the workshop, whose name has been lost from the clouding of my youth, was downstairs tinkering with a complex web of gears and sprockets. I didn't call him by his real name. He was simply the clockmaker to me, for reasons I'm sure you can deduce. Sometimes, before going upstairs, I would sit with the clockmaker for a while, watching him demonstrate almost inhuman precision with nothing more than an array of small metal instruments. His work was accompanied by a constant ticking. His past creations hung proudly on the walls like a father would hang pictures of his children. The clockmaker didn't have a wife nor any children despite his old age, although I always saw him as a grandpa-like figure growing up, and his warm eyes gave me the impression that he saw me the same way, a member of a family that was simply not meant to be. One time, after a particularly hard day at school, I returned home to find him in the back office, studying a large grandfather clock which seemed to loom over the cozy workspace. He seemed almost entranced by his face, a slight smile lifting his weathered features. He was so entranced that he seemed not even to notice me entering, a slight hint of confusion coming over him as he smiled down towards me. He told me a story that day, while he sketched our plans for his next contraption of intermingled amalgamation of brass webs. It was a lengthy story, and I honestly can't remember most of the specifics, but it was about a young woman he met during his youth. The impression he gave whilst reciting the story was that of a love story, but his eyes creased downwards as he recounted a tale from his lengthy life. He had met her at a train station, after her hat was almost taken by a gust of wind to an unknown land distant. He managed to catch it, and after a brief conversation, they boarded the train and rode the 5-hour-long journey together. She was a university professor, travelling to give a lecture at a particularly renowned institution, although the clockmaker couldn't remember what exactly her expertise was. They talked the entire journey, with games of chess and tic-tac-toe ensuring that boredom was kept at bay. Upon reaching the station, they both departed, and the clockmaker offered to escort the woman to a planned lecture. She accepted, on the condition that he stay to listen to it. Unfortunately, a terrible accident would befall the woman, one which would leave her terribly injured, perhaps fatally so. The clockmaker apparently never learned of her fate, as she was taken to a hospital to receive the best of treatment. His eyes seemed to well up, the inevitable torrent only being stopped when I grasped his hand firmly. "It's okay. It was a long time ago. Just remember to cherish those you love. Our time in this world isn't infinite." His voice was hoarse, filled with the wisdom that an old oak tree would express if it could speak. I nodded, the ticking of the majestic wooden grandfather clock matching the beating of our hearts. I have fond memories of the clockmaker and his workshop during the early years of my youth. but the magic and protection of childhood, which allowed me to find enjoyment in every waking hour, couldn't last forever. Although I didn't mind the ticking of the clocks during the day, it always made me uncomfortable to be around them during the night, especially while I was alone. Although our space upstairs wasn't cramped, it was simply not large enough for a proper bathroom, so the only bathroom we had was downstairs, past the workshop. I always dreaded having to go to the toilet during the night, those incessant gears piercing the darkness with perfect regularity, reminding you that the march of time is insurmountable no matter how old, young, poor or rich you may be. It wasn't the darkness, nor the eerie atmosphere of the workshop during the moonlight hours, nor even the symphony of artificial order and timelessness which covered the building in an unnatural state of movement yet stillness. It was the thing that accompanied it. Perhaps thing is not the right term. Even now, with a clear, matured mind, fully comprehending it is a task simply too great for me. What I saw, what I failed to comprehend or even begin to understand, turned the workshop from a happy place, usually a carnival of unity and vibrant cohesion, into a hellscape of dark dread, which seemed to seep in from every corner. This all happened when I was around 9 years old. It was late, about 1 a.m, and I had the urge to go to the toilet. For context, the upstairs portion of this building is split into two. The stairs lead to a small landing with a single door. That door leading to a hallway connected to three rooms, all on the right-hand side. The first room was mine, the second my parents', and the last room was a combination of a kitchen, dining room and lounge. The door separating the hallway from the landing was thick enough to protect our ears from the constant ticking downstairs. A godsend, all considering. Regardless, it was quite easy to exit my room and open the hallway door without waking my parents. Opening the door to the hallway and the stairs beyond it gave way to the consistent ticking and tocking of the chamber below. This wasn't my first time venturing downstairs in the darkness, and it wasn't an unusual occurrence. Yet, as I clambered down those rickety wooden stairs, something felt off, causing me to stop 3 steps from the bottom. I scanned the workshop, the vague outline of various clocks and timepieces singing their songs in the faint moonlight as moderate rain canvassed the door and windows. Nothing seemed out of place. Nothing unusual could be garnered from the light which reflected upon my young eyes. Yet still, the thought lingered in my head, a thought of unease. Hello? My voice was almost silent, more of a whisper than a declaration of confidence. Of course, no answer. To tell the truth, I'm not sure what I was expecting when I called a greeting into the darkness. But still, in the moment, the urge overcame me. The only response was the rhythmic beat of the timekeeping devices around me, a familiar sound which had never caused me discomfort before. Actually, it was rather reassuring. I continued down the stairs, reaching the bottom, and once more surveying the expansive space. Nothing unusual reached my ears, nor my eyes, and I considered my moment of mild panic to simply be the result of an overactive imagination. The feeling remained, however, like an itch in the back of my head. Tick, tock, tick, tock. I moved towards the door opposite that of the front, which led to the back office. I forgot to mention, but the clockmaker does not live in the same building we do. Instead, he resides in a small cabin located at the rear of the garden to the back of the property. The bathroom was adjoined to the office, and was put in some time before we moved in. I opened the door more carefully than usual, having been slightly put on edge by the now past unease I felt. My own mind imagined monsters lurking in the shadows, or perhaps an oversized spider which would gobble me whole. The small lamp hung outside, over the back door, gave enough illumination to allow me to maneuver my way around the office and to the bathroom door, closely avoiding a nasty accident with a shoe rack as I did so. I creaked open the door, pulled on the light, and went about my planned business. As I opened the door to leave the bathroom, a cold draft washed over my small frame. The room was no longer illuminated, and a peculiar stillness seemed to hang in the air. It took me a moment of concentrated thinking to notice. Silence. Complete silence. No tick-tocking, no marching of time, not even the pitter-patter of rain upon the windows. Pure, complete, enveloping silence. The unending tsunami of dread which crashed against my tiny mind cannot be described in mere words. A bustling market filled with energetic salesmen and curious buyers one minute, completely silent the next. Unnatural, unimaginable, implying that an event so great has occurred that an epicenter of emotion, activity and atmosphere has been overwhelmed and replaced with a husk of its former self. The office remained the same, at least from what I could tell in the newly inky darkness that surrounded me. The stack of papers, plans and schematics remained in place, awaiting for further refinement and analysis. The rack of shoes eagerly stood at attention for the moment of impromptu adventure, when their owners would put them on in a flurry of excitement to experience something new and wonderful. The old fatherly grandfather clock, watching over, much like... No, that was not right. My eyes remained locked with a looming greatness which had watched over the cramped office since the dawn of time. It seemed to observe me as well, but not with the same dread that had crept up through my very being. It watched with indifference, as if I was another stack of paper or a shoe lying helplessly on the floor. But it was silent. Everything was silent. Why was everything silent? There were dozens of clocks. How did the rain stop? Who... I took a deep breath in. The shock had slightly dissipated. Maybe the clockmaker came in whilst I was in the bathroom to turn them off. Or maybe... My young mind could not come up with any solutions I deem reasonable or logical. But one thing was certain. I didn't want to be there a moment longer. With long strides, I walked with purpose towards the door that led to the workshop, gripping the doorknob as I took my final step. I opened it, and without really thinking, I walked through into the workshop. Only, it wasn't the workshop. It was the office again. I looked behind me to find the bathroom door closed behind me. I rubbed my eyes. Was this a dream? Maybe I was sleepwalking, or still half asleep. Without stopping to study my surroundings beyond my first impression, that impression being that I was still in the office, I repeated my previous action and tried leaving the office to enter the workshop. As the door opened, I looked more carefully, finding the room beyond to be the workshop, exactly as I had expected it. I entered, the sound of the door closing behind me, the only interruption to my heavy breathing. I blinked, and once more, I was in the office. Tears of anguish formed on my face, confusion rocking my small brain as I began to truly panic. I darted towards the door once more, flinging it open with the desperation that comes from being hunted, and bolted through the door, colliding with the officer's table as I ran inside. For a while, I simply sat, tears streaming down my face as a cacophony of nothing tortured my very soul. I sat, defeated, before the looming time-space, which stood over everything else, as equally indifferent to my suffering as it was when I first left the bathroom. I scrunched up into a small ball, leaning myself against the clock for back support. When I heard it. Tick, tock, tick, tock. It was as faint as a whisper, yet the lack of any other sounds made it clear as day. I turned, looking up and into the clock's face as it stared straight back, its hands reading 1:24. The ticking had emanated from deep within the clock's structure, deeper than should have been possible. Unlike most grandfather clocks, the pendulum was not visible from the outside. rather than having a glass viewing panel, there was instead a decorated piece of wood adorned with unusual visages depicting warped figures and, looking back, equally warped faces. Some had facial features, some did not. Some were even carrying large objects on their back, rectangular and charcoal black. Something was driving me towards the clock. Something unnatural. It was almost hypnotic. The vast web of gears inside working together perfectly to form a repeating tandem of ticking and talking which matched the unending flow of the world which surrounded me. I slowly undid the small bolt which protected the innards of the clock from the outside world and pulled the wooden door away from it, like a surgeon preparing a patient for surgery. Looking inside that clock, I saw countless contradictions. It was living, yet it couldn't be. A horrible hybrid of time, life, death, and perfected mechanical motions presented itself before me. The dark, pulsating mess of flesh and brass seemed to move and twitch at perfectly timed intervals. As it pulsated, gears around it turned, culminating in a tick, followed by a tock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Even though my mind was young, and in the process of being ripped apart by an unknown horror, which would send even the most stable of people into a deep recess of insanity and depression, I understood. It was alive. The clock was alive. It was a fully functional clock, its timekeeping exact, and its timely chimes perfect. But it was still, somehow, alive. I stared for a moment before realizing the potential danger I was in, which caused me to start sliding backwards, still on the floor, until I hit the table behind me. I could see it all now, more than just a mechanical heart. Other bits of black flesh protruded from the gears, some of it convulsing, some of it simply staying still. I looked up at the face, and somehow, it seemed to smile at me. Not a benevolent smile like the clockmaker's, but an almost insidious one, combining pleasure and malice into a concoction of revolting evilness. Without thinking, I slammed the door to the clock's innards shut, bolting the door as I felt a possessive gaze fixated upon the back of my neck. I bolted up, not daring to look back at whatever malevolent force had decided to wrought its reckoning upon me. I almost fell over the table as I rushed for the door to the workshop, pulling it open and throwing myself inside. With great relief, I actually found myself inside the workshop, its familiarity and relative normality giving me a brief respite of soothing reassurance. Any sense of relief, however, was short-lived. The clocks were ticking again, louder, more voracious, most chillingly of all, completely out of sync with each other. Everything began to warp as fresh tears filled my eyes. Nothing made sense as my ears were bombarded with unrelenting ticking, talking, and the sound of heavy rain upon the windows. Without waiting a moment, I picked myself up and began running for the stairs, wailing and screaming with last-minute energy of an injured wolf. I climbed for what seemed like hours. I climbed, my sense of time and space warping with my vision as I slowly began to lose consciousness. I woke up the next day, tightly tucked into my bed. I checked the time, giving myself a small dose of panic-fueled adrenaline as the sound of the clock finally brought me to my full alertness. It was past noon, meaning that I'd missed school. I shouted for my parents, and to my great relief, my father answered my call. He explained to me that he had found me, collapsed at the top of the stairs, just outside the door leading to our hall. My parents, assuming that I was either unwell or had spent the entire night awake, carried me to bed and decided to allow me to stay home from school. As he spoke, I simply nodded. Was it a dream I had while sleepwalking? It all seemed so real, but perhaps for the sake of my sanity, I convinced myself that none of it really happened. After all, a living clock. Even as a child, I knew that clocks couldn't be alive. After that, my life continued as normal. Almost. I avoided venturing downstairs during the night, whatever the cost, although a few times where I had no choice were remarkably uneventful. I developed a slight fear of clocks, and I would grow very uncomfortable if the ticking of a clock grew too loud. But beyond that, I simply placed the event in the furthest reaches of my mind. I'm 16 now, almost an adult and going through a bit of a rebellious phase. Honestly, up until yesterday, the traumatic dream I had as a kid had been forgotten, and I'd almost gotten over my unusual fear of clocks and timekeeping. However, what I saw yesterday dug up those memories, causing newfound dread that I've only experienced on that particular night. I came home early from school yesterday, and in the hopes of avoiding my dad, who I knew would be in the front workshop preparing for his next delivery, I decided to try and sneak around the back to pick up some cash and grab some lunch with. Thankfully, the foliage around the building provided ample cover, allowing me to move into the back garden without a single soul knowing. As I approached the back door, I noticed a figure through the window, sitting in the office with their back against the table. It only took me a moment to realize it was the clockmaker, leaning back whilst facing the immortal grandfather clock, which I'd almost cleansed from my memories. The clockmaker didn't make my life his business, so he would probably take little notice if I simply ducked in and out to grab what I needed whilst avoiding my dad. Before opening the door, however, I heard his voice seep out the halfway open window. "I'll have to replace it soon. It's getting old. Rotten, I would say. But don't you worry, dear. The folks upstairs have a healthy young'un. Kind and sweet as a buttercup raindrop, I would say. A shame, really. A shame." His voice had an unusual youthfulness to it, yet it was accompanied with an element of spite which seemed out of place for the man of his character. This by itself was surprising, but to my shock, a voice replied, sending the events of 7 years ago into the forefront of my mind. It was not a human voice, nor a voice at all really. It was a series of ticks and tocks which somehow carried meaning, actual meaning. The pitch and tone of each chime shifted ever so slightly, somehow forming words in my mind without a morsel of my will entering it. The clockmaker suddenly seemed alert, turning his head to look at me standing outside the window. His eyes were no longer those of the clockmaker I knew. The warmth drained and replaced with the coldness and smoothness of well-shined brass. He seemed neither angry nor surprised, although I could easily sense his intention from a mere glance. I ran. I ran as I did 7 years ago, filled with unending dread and hopelessness. I ran, knowing that any distance would be transcended on a level I could not comprehend. I ran. I consider this to be my last testament, and will perhaps. I know that no matter where I go, I'm doomed. Nobody can help me. I cannot help myself. It was not a dream. It was a moment when my fate was sealed. Tick, tock, tick, tock. The time I have will soon be mine no longer. With perfect precision, it'll be given to another. A being greater, yet lesser than the human soul. Time is insurmountable. And it is marching right towards me.
Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein. Ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach Shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
In Deutschland streamen jeden Tag Millionen von Menschen Musik, Podcasts und Online-Radio. Digital Audio ist mehr als nur ein Hintergrundgeräusch. Es ist ein wichtiger Bestandteil des täglichen Lebens. Und mit seinen präzisen Targeting-Möglichkeiten ist es eines der am schnellsten wachsenden Medien überhaupt. Erfahren Sie auf katzdigital.com, wie Digital Audio Ergebnisse liefert. Das ist katzdigital.com.